Desperate plea to find her little girl, who may or may not exist. Available now in hardcover wherever books are sold. From CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks, online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. And from Joyce V. Hale, seeking a world challenged and invigorated through a deeper understanding of ideas.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, 10 degrees outside the studios here in Urbana-Champaign. The national average basis for corn was unchanged overnight at 26 under the March futures contract, while the DTN National Corn Index was down a penny at $3.44 a bushel. The national average basis for soybeans was unchanged at 40 cents under the March, and while the DTN National Soybean Index was down 7 cents at $9.13 a bushel. In a moment, we'll get an update of what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for agricultural weather comes from Busey. Busey and its associates remain committed to lending a helping hand, with contributions of more than $1 million and countless volunteer hours each year to better the communities where we live and work. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Weather conditions across the Midwest today are surprisingly adverse, I guess. A lot of us were expecting some snow over the weekend, but certainly not the 16 inches plus that were reported across the region. Some areas in central Iowa reporting up to 14 inches, in northern Illinois, northern Indiana area, anywhere from 8 to 16 inches. Some locally greater amounts suspected in some of that region. We've had some blowing and drifting of snow. The temperatures are quite cold, and travel across the Midwest is just horrendous today. A lot of delays coming in and out of major metropolitan areas as well as some of the rural areas, and it will be a slow day until we dig out from the mess. Most of the temperatures across the region are quite chilly as well. Temperatures just fell out of bed behind the storm system. A lot of negative and positive single-digit readings reported all the way down into Kansas, Missouri, parts of northwestern Illinois, and a handful of locations in northeastern Indiana up into Michigan, also reporting some single digits this morning. The snow was sufficient to protect the winter crop across both the soft wheat producing areas and also in hard red winter wheat country out there in Nebraska and Kansas. We did see temperatures drop out to around 0 degrees in northern Kansas this morning, negative single digits in Nebraska, but those areas were all snow covered. There's no reason for concern about damage in those areas. Further to the north, though, some of the northern plains continue to be lacking snow cover. They picked up on some out there in Montana and the western Dakotas, but eastern portions of the Dakotas and parts of western Minnesota still snow-free. That's something that's been occurring frequently during the course of the winter this year. There's not going to be a flood potential in the upper parts of the Midwest, the rate they're going, and it looks like there'll be no change in the next 2 weeks across those areas. Precipitation in the Midwest will likely be somewhat restricted as we go forward through this week. I don't think we'll see another storm system, anything like the one we just had, but of course I wasn't expecting as much snow as we got with that. So we'll have to be careful and watch closely. The next storm system that's going to come across the region will actually come out of the central plains as we go from Tuesday night into Wednesday. It'll come into parts of the Midwest, mostly Wednesday going into Thursday. It'll be a very weak event, but there will be some additional snow that will fall across parts of the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest, and we'll expect to see accumulation stay relatively light, probably 1 to 3 inches for the most part. And that system could be weaker and will end up just producing a dusting to an inch or two. We'll keep a close eye on that. After that system's gone, a couple of days of dry weather and a warming trend will likely come along, but the temperatures will be fairly cold, at least through the work week. We're expecting to see high temperatures this afternoon confined in the western portions of the Midwest to the teens and 20s. The east will be somewhat similar, might be a few 30-degree temperatures down in the southernmost parts of the region, though. As we go into the afternoon tomorrow, teens and 20s will still occur in the northern parts of the Midwest, but the lower areas will see 20s, 30s, and maybe even a few 40s taking place. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see temperatures over 50 degrees tomorrow afternoon in parts of eastern Kansas or west central Missouri. The reinforcing shot of cool air will follow that little snow event, though, from Wednesday into Thursday, and the high temperatures on Wednesday afternoon will be teens and 20s in the western Corn Belt, maybe 20s and 30s, a few 40s in the east, and then the cold air will spread into the east eastern areas as we get on into Thursday afternoon. Teens and 20s likely in many areas with a few 30s in the far south. Our lowest temperatures at night this week will probably bottom out as we get out on Thursday morning. Positive and negative single digits, much like those of today, will occur across a big part of the Midwest. Prior to that, we won't see temperatures much colder than single digits in teens in the north and teens and 20s in the south. Down in South America, everything seems to be very typical for this time of the year. Scattered showers and thunderstorms occurring routinely in Brazil. Argentina is going to see a little bit of a drying bias for this week with temperatures above average. Some hot weather will occur in a few locations. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Tug Gleason. Our thanks to Drew for his daily updates of the agricultural weather forecast across the planet.
Support for the Marketplace Morning Report comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey, with strategy planning for future generations to fit individual needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check the numbers now as they're trading in Chicago. Futures in the corn pit at $3.70.5 on their last tick, up half a cent. May futures are up a half at $3.79. July $3.86.5, up a half, and December at $4.01.75, up a penny. Soybeans up 2.25 at $9.63.25. May up 1.75. July a penny and 3/4 higher. November beans of next year at $9.48.75, up 3. Bean meal down 90 cents. Bean oil up 35 cents. The soft red wind. Winter wheat in the March at $4.99.5, down 3.25, and the March hard red at $5.36, down 4.25. Live cattle futures at $1.32.5 higher on Friday. We're up $1.54.85. The feeder cattle were up $1.62.5 at the end of their day Friday at $2.05.20. Let's check in now on the grains and what's been happening with the oil seeds with Aaron Curtis. He's at Midco in Bloomington, Illinois. Good snowy morning to you. Thanks for taking the time, and glad you made it into work this morning.
Yeah, same with you, Todd. Good to see you made it in, too. But it's pretty quiet here this morning. We have seen a two-sided trade, mostly lower overnight. China's PMI numbers over the weekend below that magic 50 mark, so it did cause a little weakness in the overnights. But about 5 o'clock this morning, we did see a little perk up in prices. And here as we talk, Todd, like you mentioned, just a small gains here on corn and soybeans. But it is a pretty quiet day, and it looks like, at least news-wise, it's going to be a pretty quiet week.
Roads are sloppy, and then, of course, we get some cold weather. Will farmers move corn this week?
I think it's going to be slow, especially as we move farther north. Considerably more snow here as the snowstorm continued to move north over the weekend. So I think grain movement's going to be slow, and that's offering a little support here, at least early this week. It does look like we have some warming temperatures by the weekend, so that could be kind of a small-lived story here, at least early part in the week here. But, yeah, that's probably going to offer a little support. At least it's trying here early in the week here.
Have you looked? Is there much of a differentiation between the bases across the Corn Belt east to west?
It has been pretty quiet here. The base has been fairly flat. You know, transportation issues have improved since harvest, so that's allowed things to firm up just a little bit. And overall, Todd, the farmer just has not been a very consistent seller, especially on corn, and that's why basis continue to kind of hang in here for the most part since harvest ended. So pretty flat overall, but we just still haven't seen much interest in producer selling, and that's going to be kind of the key here for basis here as we move forward into the spring.
Do you think new crop corn at 4.02.5 is a target area for anybody at all at this time?
There's just not much interest. You know, you look at the seasonals, they still suggest that we get a little bounce into that spring time frame. Got a lot of acres talk still to come. That'll be highlighted, just briefly here at the Ag Outlook Forum here in a couple weeks. But, seasonally it looks like we still have some firming to come, or at least that's the hope here as we move forward. So right around $4 here, there's just not much interest at all, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Have a great day.
Of course, that is Aaron Curtis. He, of course, is with Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois. A quick update on the marketplace. Corn futures are up 0.75 cents. They're about in most of their contracts. Bean futures up about 1 to 2 cents for the day. Wheat futures are down 2 to 3, and that's the way the numbers are now trading. We'll be back in just about an hour. We'll take another look at the commodity markets and check what's happening with Kurt Kimmel at Bates. commodities in Normal, Illinois. Just a quick reminder that we will be on the road again this week at the Pork Expo on Wednesday at 1:30. If you want to come see Brett Stewart and Jackie Bakes, we'll have a panel for about an hour and a half there. We'll go through all kinds of things that are related to hog production. And then that's in Peoria at the Pork Expo at the Convention Center. And then in Springfield on Thursday night, February 5th, we'll be at the Northfield Inn and Suites there on Sangamon Avenue. Easy to get to. Matt Bennett, Kurt Kimmel, Bill Mayer will be along for our Will Ag panel. That's Springfield on Thursday evening at the Northfield Inn and Suites. And on Saturday morning, we'll be in Joliet at Joliet Junior College, the Weitendorf Agricultural Education Center. It's the Farmland, Chicago Farmers Farmland Forum. Should be a great event. Matt Bennett from Channel Siege, Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities, and Gary Schnitke will be along to take you through some of what's been happening in the commodity markets, along with the decisions that landowners and farmers will need to be making as it relates to the brand new farm program. So hopefully you can find us at one of those events. Checking it out at willag.org. Of course, you're listening to WILL. This is AM 580 at WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. It is the top of the hour.
Good morning. President Obama sends a new budget to Congress today. He's facing lame duck status and a GOP Congress. We'll ask the president's budget director how the White House will navigate all that on Morning Edition from NPR News. So very disappointed. That's how one fan in Seattle described his emotions after last night's Super Bowl. Other Seahawks fans are probably saying things we wouldn't be able to air. Reaction to the game from Seattle and Boston this morning. I'm David Green. In New York City, another grand jury is hearing evidence in the case of an unarmed black man who was killed, shot by a rookie police officer. And in Iowa, we thought farmers using too much fertilizer were polluting the drinking water in Des Moines. The truth, it turns out, might be more complicated. It's Monday, February 2nd. Princess Stephanie of Monaco turns 50 years old today. And the news is coming up next.